soul sibling, welcome back for a new episode of the podcast. Can you hear nature? Listen to that beautiful bird song. This is a bird that lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico right now. I have wanted to come to Santa Fe, New Mexico for decades. Well, to New Mexico and northern New Mexico. And I'm going to tell you all about it in the next few episodes of my podcast. But for today, I want to introduce it, let you know that I'm here, and I finally made it. Something I read about over 20 years ago from Pema Chodron. And she said something about being in northern New Mexico, and I'll never forget it. And it was kind of her big, when things fall apart, when things fell apart for her, and her breakdown and her awareness. And that was close to her 40s. And, you know, that's when I also got sober and had my big sort of breakdown into breakthrough that really connected things for me. It was, you know, close to 40. So I'm excited. You can hear sound out here. I'm staying at an Airbnb near the mountains. I'm not sure the names yet, but I will tell you more about it along the way. So for today, for this episode, I have a part one, and there's two parts to today's episode. The first item of business, I want to read something to you that I found as I was preparing for my trip here to travel. And then I'm going to share with you this concept around fear and what I realized about my own self right now and how, ooh, I'm going to sneeze. Oh my goodness. There's twice. Thank you. Since I'm on the road, I'm not using my same podcast equipment, so it's a little harder for me to edit out the sneezes. So regardless, thank you for indulging my sneeze. There is pollen in the air. It was 38 degrees this morning. It's about 50 right now. It's lovely. Blue skies. The trees are starting to blossom. There's lots of green. Some of the trees are still bare, and it's just going to be a warm week, and wow. So from this ground, from this country, from Santa Fe, New Mexico, I present to you today part one. So in preparing to make this road trip, I drove my car, I met up with my friend Jude, and we're going to be staying a week together here at this Airbnb. He flew into the airport in Albuquerque, and we're hiking and working, and we love to work in the morning, do our things, meditation, movement, stretching, breakfast, coffee talk, and then we meet up around 12 or 1. And we do our work, our digital work. We work during the weekdays, like Tuesdays and Thursdays are our big work days. Jude is a neurologist, and he is an online doctor Tuesdays and Thursdays. He has clients that he sees through an online portal where he has assistants who are in person with the clients and can assist him from in person. And so we have a really fun system. We were together 6 months ago in Yosemite, and here we are in spring. So as I prepared, I thought, who and what am I going to be traveling, painting, working on while I'm on the road for a couple weeks? And I knew it was Natalie Goldberg, one, because Natalie Goldberg lives in northern New Mexico in Taos, and she is one of my great teachers. I've read her books, almost all 16 of them. And she is my writing teacher. I go to writing retreats with her twice a year online. I have not met her in person. I'm hoping I secretly find her in Taos at a coffee shop writing. So for sure, I knew I would bring her and download one specific book of hers where she reads it and she gives commentary about her first book and what she's learned since then. And that book, her first breakthrough book, was Writing Down the Bones and how she connected Zen and meditation practice with her writing practice back in the 80s. I think it was 86. So the second teacher I wasn't sure, or the second topics of my travels found me. the weekend before I left last weekend, a week ago, I was just getting over another round of being sick with just head cold, chest cold. It wasn't as bad as my winter, but I was definitely down for a week. And I was going through a notebook and I found this writing. It's here in my hand. Here's the paper, pen to paper, just like Natalie Goldberg teaches me. And I teach others, pen to paper and your mind. That's all you need. And I wrote, and I'm going to read this writing to you. And the question that I was working with, I guess, this was also an interesting dated material. It's the year before I got sober. And I have been looking for information or writings during that 2014 fall, winter into 2015. And I found this, and I don't know the exact date, but I know it's the winter of 2014-15. The question is, who is your hero and what path beckons? Who is your hero and what path beckons? Here is my free writing. Hero, H period E period R O. That one guy, you know, the one with the red and blue sleek and form-fitting suit. That other guy. The one who supposedly confronted his biggest fear by entering a garden for the purpose of taking the entire world's past, present, and future sins. The entire world's sins. The path that beckons me is one many paint as sinful. I look at this path as the way of being, of experiencing life exactly as the characters and deeds cross over my path, while I simultaneously define the commentary and the meaning they will take, the roles they play with the drama or comedy to accompany. My preference would be a sudden outburst of show tunes. My hero is a woman. Her words gracefully lifted me from such dark despair in the corner of many crossing paths in my early 30s. Her title and slogan reached across generations to assure me that when things fall apart in my life, this is good news. That such suffering as defined by my mental health constructions is actually a gift. My opportunity to wake up, pay attention, and show up in my life. A hero implies she surmounted heights that are treacherous and maybe traversed by few, or at least the dedicated. She was first in a man's world, tradition, and trajectory. Her low point extended from the self-centeredness of a man who broke his sexual vows of promise and fidelity to her. Immense beauty and color paint the journey and quest of this Donna Quixote. Aspirations of peace that others might be free of suffering as they gently allow their hearts to break open towards a full immersion in life. All of it. One hero I once loved in a magical chapter of my childhood was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Morgan. Her uncanny way of showing up to teach us and tell story was complemented with her kitschy choice in attire, even costume. Long, distinguished dark hair that adorned her entire spine. And the day she positively told us of the time she was caught in quicksand and the birds offered divine communication to assist her with her escape. Today in this hour, this moment, not another place but this place. My heroes are many, with the unique perspective and ocean of connections that I enjoy. The hero is each one of these courageous individuals who continually, day in and day out, walk across the tightrope of life's towering propensities, with a desire to be better, to cultivate their art, to share their message, to elevate the suffering, to illuminate the path. I used to look for the superheroes, and now I see heroes all around me. The bartender, my mechanic, the school teacher, that aspiring artist, my best friend recovering from open heart surgery, my other friend, a therapist, sage, and wise counsel to many, my aging mother, and even me, courageously traveling this path of Om. That's great. I love it. So when I first found Pema Chodron's book, When Things Fall Apart, Heart Advice for Difficult Times, I'm holding a new copy. I lost my copy in my move, and her book, this book, I have a brand new copy that I bought before I left to drive here to New Mexico. I'm making fresh notes, and I'm going to teach you part one today about what I learned as I started leaning into her last weekend and then preparing and finishing up work and things in Southern California and listening to the audio of this book for the first couple chapters when I ran into the teachings that I remember. I wasn't sure if I would still resonate, you know, 20 years later. I still listen to Pema over the years, but I found her first in 2003, 4, 5 when I graduated from social work, my master's in social work, and I was in my 30s, early 30s. I had just gotten a diagnosis of HIV, and so in that sort of part of my life, I found this book, and it was so helpful for me. And on a side note, I didn't start using drugs until after my diagnosis. I think for sure I'm learning that that was one of the ways I was coping and trying to escape the diagnosis, the internalized shame, the unknown and undiscovered religious trauma, spiritual abuse from my religious years. And so this book was so much, so meaningful. And so as I was listening last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I bumped into this phrase. So here we go into part two, and I'll share with you this phrase. And then I will give you a little commentary on, I must have allergies. There's a lot of pollen in the air. So thanks for your patience with my running nose. Maybe another sneeze will be heading your way. So I'll first read to you what I heard, and then I'll tell you what I did, how I realized that from winter's melancholy into my new year's, which is around the spring equinox, into April, I got to work, started doing the things I needed to be doing, and then I got sick again for a week, and it threw me down. I felt a little discouraged the week before last being sick, and I just kind of settled in and surrendered. And so coming out and launching into this travel, it was hard for me to wrap my head around packing up my car to be on the road for a couple weeks. I had so much that I didn't get done that I needed or wanted to, and I had to just adjust my schedule for the rest of the year. And finally, I'm at peace with it. And in the immediate surrender of being sick and then finding and returning to Pema Chodron's words, here's what she said. We don't need encouragement. Let's see. That's not going to make sense to you. Let's start here. We habitually spin off and we freak out when there's even the merest hint of fear. We feel it coming and we check out. It's good to know we do that, not as a way to beat ourselves up, but as a way to develop unconditional compassion. So we habitually spin off and freak out when there's even the merest hint of fear. We feel it coming and we check out. And so that is what stood out to me and caught me by surprise. I realized as I was emerging from my second week of being sick over a few months, that my winter's melancholy and now my spring melancholy was also rooted in deep fear. And I thought, so I feel it coming and then I check out. And so I thought, okay, well, this really resonates. And so I even wrote here in my current writing space, I'm returning to Pema Chodron. I'm reading these to you now. I found words tucked away in a black bound moleskin dated 2015, pre-sobriety. My heroine, my blue heron, On the gravestone, she was the first big, wide, funny, potent voice which carried and caught me in free fall. Humor, wisdom, potent, female-centric, breaking down into a breakthrough. As I slither from the cashmere sickbed, I feel spring linens longing for air. Preparing for a road trip to meet my Bayou bestie Jude, I long to connect with Pema Chodron and, of course, Natalie Goldberg, since I'm heading into New Mexico for the first time, leaving soon to glide across the long, quiet highway. That's the name of one of Natalie's books. In my cross track, Hudson Harvey Mountain Feather. So I was like, I am afraid of everything right now. The thousand faces of fear. So I took to my writing. Here's the next entry in real time last week. What am I afraid of? I'm like, I'm afraid of my dad's death and my mom's death. I know I'm going through deep melancholy and loss with my dad and his dementia. It's been about 8 to 9 years since it started. I worry and have fear. Like, what if it throws me down? I don't know what it feels like to lose them. Am I going to have regret about things that I'm not doing or the way that I'm doing my interaction and relationship with them right now this year? Should I be spending more time with my father and his caregiver? I'm afraid with my body and the changes at 50 years old, the shape, extra weight. I went to see my doctor recently and he was talking about gallbladder and a little bit of elevated levels in my, I forget what the, bilirubin, something like that. I have this resistance to Hep B, and I read something because I've been doing research the last couple of weeks, like, okay, what do I need to do to take charge of some of my medical health care at this point? I've learned that I can't rely on him to manage everything, or her, or them, the doctor. Am I going to be alone for the next 30 years? Am I going to die alone? I mean, we're talking financial fears. How am I going to sustain myself? Can I scale? What about healthcare and benefits? What if I lose my current contract as a freelancer, my J-O-B? What about Donald Trump and Joe Biden in the election year? What about queer gender discrimination? What about Harvey Rose? Will she outgrow me this season? And when I get back to see her in June, will she not like me anymore? What if I lose my current schedule and flexibility to be bicoastal blue? That's what my niece calls me, bicoastal blue. And what if I have to go back into working a more, you know, structured being in one place, the grind, as I wrote it, and I won't be able to spend as much time with Harvey and her dads and her animals? So I was like, all right, here we are. I am in a fear storm. So then I'm like, so if she says, Pema, we feel it, you, what if she's saying, hey, when you feel fear coming, we want to check out. And so that's what that first sentence, we don't need encouragement to check out, because we naturally, as humans, we disassociate from fear. So then I thought, well, what else, like, what do I do to check out right now? I'm like, well, I love to watch TV. I love to watch a new binge watch a series over the weekend. I love to sleep. I love to nap. I love to be on my phone and scroll Instagram or Facebook or just whatever, shop, look around at stuff. Eating. Interesting side note. I don't have sex on that list. I have had sex on that list a lot of years and decades of my life, and this is the first time I don't. And I was like, oh, that's fun that this is a season of not checking out with sex. So here I write, we naturally disassociate from fear. I freak out. I spin off at the hint of fear. And Pema Chodron is suggesting we stop running away from fear. We lean into it. We move in closer. And why is it that we, you know, feel like we need to sweeten it up or make the fear go away or take a pill or distract ourselves? Interesting, right? So then I wrote down, what's the solution when fear is sticking? And right now, last week, I have been in this huge sticking with fear. So a week ago today is when I was doing this. I sat and wrote a week ago Sunday. How perfect. Here I am a week later and so much has shifted this week. Of course it helps that I'm on the road, that I'm traveling, I'm with a close best friend. So what's the solution when fear sticks, when it rises, when it replicates, when it metastasizes? So all I could come up with last week, the first item on my list, so I'm doing research and I'm asking you to also participate with me. Like, what is the solution for fear for you? You know, what's the solution when fear rises in your life and you check out, you run, you want to sweeten it up, make it go away, distract yourself? So I went back to 2015 and 16 when I first got sober from all drugs and alcohol and entered into community with other addicts and alcoholics. And one of the things I learned from Gabby Bernstein, who studied with Marianne Williamson, who was talking about her sobriety, this is Gabby Bernstein, and The Course in Miracles, she taught me at that time at an event, a book event, a live event, a workshop I went to, that according to Course in Miracles, it's basically you're either in fear or love. And if you're in a place of fear, the only way to be restored to love is grace, is a power greater than you, God, Goddess, Gus. And I tried it during that season and it was very helpful. So that's where I started last week. And so who I reached out to was Goddess, power greater, deeper, wider. I just said, you know, I'm in a lot of fear. And I don't know how to manage it all. It's everything. I'm in like a shitstorm of fear. So can I give this to you? Can you help me carry it? I said all those things. And I definitely know that I sit here a week later with a much lighter feeling and a lot more faith and love. But there's a whole other part too that I want to get to, and that's what's coming to you next. Because Pema Chodron is, you know, saying we naturally dissociate from fear. We freak out at the rise of it. And she's like, you know, what if you were told no one tells you to stop running away from fear? Often they're like, well, let's sweeten it up. Let's make it go away. Here, take a pill. Distract yourself. What if you were to lean into it, move closer? So I was like, I don't know. Aren't I supposed to get rid of it, solution it away? And I thought, well, I'm going to ask people on the road. So I asked my sister. I saw her before I left town. We went for a really nice sunset walk in Huntington Beach. I've already talked to Jude about it. So I'm asking you, tell me about fear. Or pull out your journal. What's your fear storm right now? You know, how are you checking out because of fear? What are you afraid of? It was very helpful for me to write it all down. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Here I am. Here we are. And on the next episode, there's going to be a part two of this because I learned a lot this week and I've been traveling and I've been recording you some little audio clips along the way. So don't go too far. I'll be back real soon, I promise. And if you are one of my students of Y Circles alumni, actually, I just finished teaching the midwinter Y Circles. I have an email coming out to you all. Don't worry, we're going to have a heart circle the end of May or the first weekend of June. Also, I have new guided meditations coming over the next couple days for any of you that own... Ooh, listen to those bells. Like church bells or something. Any of you that own my guided meditation starter kit, I've got spring updates with the brand new guided meditation that's so beautiful about turning inward and going into your mind's heart and eye, into a garden within yourself. And of course, the sound of Huntington Beach, Dog Beach, the ocean, the sound of the ocean waves. And also coming soon, I'm having my spring recital, The Music Will Save Us. Friday, May 31st, Saturday, June 1st, and Sunday, June 2nd. I'll be doing four different shows, different times, afternoon, evenings, later evening. I'm selling tickets. There is a tiered ticket price. Tickets are $24. If you're a student, $12. If you need a discount, $12. If you need a lucky break and you're on a tight budget, $12. And if you want to be VIP, yeah, you know me, Blue, VIP Blue, you know, would pay $48. And with that $48 donation, you get a ticket to the show and you get my guided meditation starter kit with over 25 guided meditations. I have short Sound of Nature only 5-minute audios, creeks, waterfalls, starry night in Yosemite, early in the morning in Yosemite, teachings, video teachings about meditation. And the guided meditation starter kit is a $49 value. It's always for sale. And you might not know about it. So details about all of this coming soon, as well as links to purchase tickets. So save the date for my recital. And greetings to you all from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I talked to Harvey yesterday on FaceTime and I said, I'm in New Mexico. She's like, you're in Mexico? I'm like, no, I'm in New Mexico. It's a state in the United States. She was very curious. All right, soul siblings, much love and wisdom to your next couple hours. Get to the paper. Explore your fear. When you feel it coming, how do you check out? And what's the solution? And are you open to exploring alternative solutions for this spring and summer to meet your fear? Om. See you next time on the podcast.